Welcome back to Politics and More with Shannon Moore and Rosemary Stainbrook. Kind of continuing the topic of the 2024 election, I don't know if you guys caught the interview between Representative Nancy Mace and George Stephanopoulos. He decided to have her on in order to try and defend why she thinks she can continue to support someone like Donald Trump, her being a victim of sexual assault and him being civilly convicted of libel of sexual assault. He wasn't convicted of sexual assault, but was civilly liable for saying that he didn't, and tried to get her to kind of back off her support. Now, for those who don't remember, George Stephanopoulos was the attack dog for Bill Clinton and would go after Bill Clinton's victims in order to make them sound like bimbos. So this is not new for George. This is his MO. This is what made him famous in the first place and why he has a job now. But he just went back to his very old 1990s tactics in order to make women feel bad about their sexual assault, which was just appalling entirely. So, yeah, I feel bad that Nancy Mace was put in that position, but George Stephanopada Oopadoopolis, like, it wasn't really that great of a look for him.
Well, you know, you just can't take the liberal out of the liberal, I suppose.
You can't take the Clinton out of Stephanopoulos, yeah. But yeah, that was very unfortunate for her and for him. It was just another day at the office. Nothing's changed for George. Kind of moving on to what is kind of going on with Biden and a lot of his international relations. I know he's dealing with a lot of destabilization type issues, especially when it comes to Haiti and now with Pakistan as well as Israel. And Shannon, it's like you looked a little deeper into what's going on in Haiti.
Well, with Haiti, and it's just now in the last week or two kind of starting to make the news. We've heard it. Fox has ran a number of articles about it, but the government, or what is left of the government, is kind of essentially falling apart in Haiti, and they are truly descending into anarchy. We've heard the stories, and I mean they're fairly true that you know, armed gangs are starting to essentially replace any sort of semblance of authority or law and order there in Haiti, and we're starting to get essentially a country that is in anarchy. So for anybody who ever thinks a country without any law is a good thing, well, this is kind of what is happening in Haiti right now. And obviously, that's going to create a lot of problems. I have even heard that the U.S. is still planning to provide aid to there, which kind of,
But to who exactly? How in the world are these, like, anarchic cells supposed to be making sure that they're giving it to actual civilians that need the aid instead of the unlawful citizens there now?
Yeah, I don't actually quite understand the mechanics of how humanitarian aid could be provided now, because it would seem like if it's gotten that bad that those gangs are going to kind of take that aid and use it for, you know, their own followers, and it will not be distributed out fairly. But again, it's kind of a bad situation there. They're the poorest country in the Caribbean. I think they may actually be thought of as the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. But for America anyway, obviously any sort of destabilization in the Caribbean, you know, people have to consider. But there's also going to be possibly an influx of people trying to escape Haiti. Governor DeSantis has already addressed that. I think he's kind of beefing up law enforcement to try to prevent an influx of, again, undocumented individuals, because you don't know who's coming. There's no way to properly vet who's coming over, and we've already had some issues. Numerous issues over the last few years with our border. So, again, another foreign policy problem for the Biden administration to have to deal with. And I'm sure most of us kind of feel that it will not be able to be properly handled?
Most likely not. I mean, Biden is unfortunately notorious for just, you know, I mean, for someone who is such a proponent of trickle-down economics, this is trickle-down aid, Biden style. It's like hoping that civilians get it, but really it's going to be the overlords that get it instead. Even in Pakistan and Southeast Asia, there was an election last month, and Pakistan's not too happy about how much the United States actually interfered with that election.
Guess who's just given a clean chit to Pakistan's elections? The United States. Let me recount how Pakistan held its general election. Mobile internet turned off. Most popular leader in jail facing 200 cases. Biggest opposition party stripped of its election symbol. And vote counting took almost 2 days. How would you describe this election? You would say it's not an election. If it happened anywhere else, the US would also say the same thing. But this was Pakistan. So they said the elections were clearly competitive.
We congratulate the Pakistani people, first of all, for participating on the election on Thursday. It was clearly a competitive election in which people were able to exercise their choice.
Not sure what competitive means in the US. Does it mean stuffing ballots or shutting down the internet or deploying soldiers inside counting centers? If so, yes, it was competitive. All these statements expose America's policy on Pakistan. They can't seem to abandon the Pakistani army, despite the rigging, despite the support for the Taliban, despite the double game on terror. The U.S. remains in the army's corner. My point is, Washington stands exposed yet again. It's no secret that they support the generals in Rawalpindi to keep their dirty works department in the region up and running. Hence, they're all silent on the rigging. But imagine if this happened elsewhere. The criticism would have been never-ending. So the next time America begins a moral lecture, ask them about Pakistan.
So again, it's like how much similar that kind of also sounds like what's been going on with Trump. He's dealing with case after case after case. And it's like Pakistan dealt with stuffed ballots and their internet being turned off and their most popular leader being targeted. I'm like, I'm sorry. It's like, again, this is Biden doing his trickle down politics where the people that they want to keep in power stay, and Biden gets to pick and choose, and it's like in the State Department gets to pick and choose the winners. That's not democracy, and that's surely not going to be democracy in the United States.
Well, there's definitely kind of a worldwide, I think, blowback on American foreign policy under the Biden administration, and you know, I would say that the Biden administration's foreign policy has also been like a lot of the foreign policy of some of the other Democrat presidents and
even
Obama, some in the Bush era as well. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing just a really major switch in how the world aligns right now. I think that future historians who study foreign policy and look at the world and its alliances and all the different connections will see this era is definitely an era in which things changed quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And some of it has been brought about by Obama policies, Biden policies, and even some of the Bush policy, neocon policies, yeah, of the Bush era. And what that has led to also is that more destabilization in places like the Middle East, and an increasing dangerous world, maybe more unstable than during the Cold War.
Oh yeah.
Because now we have the rise of other countries, but we have a fading, you know, America in, because of the fact that, you know, our, you know, it really kind of goes back a lot to our debt. We are going to eventually run out of money to be able to lead the world's free countries. And unfortunately, I don't know if we're going to be able to stop that.
Well, it's really unfortunate that Republicans are not really seeing the big picture here. Neocons, unfortunately, are notorious for picking losers when it comes to international relations, whether it was Gaddafi at the time, whether it was Saddam Hussein at the time, now it's Assad in the Middle East. And it's like, and even when it comes to a lot of the terror cells, whether it's the Taliban whether it's Hamas or ISIS. It's like neocons have played this entire game wrong. Pretty much the only win that they ever had was LCC in Egypt. And that this game strategy has got to change. You can't just enforce democracy on your terms on other countries like this. It doesn't work. It's whatever was going on in Iraq and Afghanistan was great for the first 18 months. And then the idea of trying to impose something that the demographic was not ready for, simply did not work. The amount of, glorified paper pushing that was going on in the Middle East under Bush did not work. And I honestly think that Trump understood this. It's like, look, we have to work with these people. We have to start making deals and stop trying to make them enemies and stop trying to force them to do things that we can't make them do. It's like, again, the neo game, the neocon game is a losing game. And for Biden to think that he can continue what George Bush and Obama did is simply not going to work long term.
Yeah, that's essentially, if we were kind of looking into it in political theory, it is the neocon view, which really was Clinton's, the Bushes, mm-hmm. both Bushes, the Obamas, and Biden, is the idea of that nation building. But essentially, it does not take into account different groups of people and their cultures may not fit within the mold of the type of society that neocons are trying to build. Mm-hmm. And all that, it has resulted in is a lot of these countries getting more destabilized than if we had just kind of not gone onto that policy. And, you know, luckily I do think that some who held that have maybe rethought their position. Not all of them. There's still most of them who still, but some I think maybe have. But the Biden administration is still kind of looking, is following that mold. And what has happened? More destabilization.
Well, there also seems to be this conflation of, is like, well, we can work with terrorists. It's like, no, you absolutely cannot. You can't partner with the Taliban in order to create democracy. That doesn't work. You can't do that with Hamas. You can't do that with Fatah. You can't do that with Abu Nidal. Like, it's this idea that you can convince people to become democratic, even though they're thugs, doesn't work.
Yeah, that don't seem to go together.
Yeah, it doesn't work at all. And for, again, for a lot of neocons to think that they can convince terrorists to become democratic is simply a pipe dream. So we're going to take a quick break right here, and we will be right back with the next segment.